Today I want to talk about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you have a personal relationship with Him today, or is it just an on-call relationship? Do you only call on the Lord Jesus when you need Him, or is the Lord there with you 24/7? Because that's the kind of relationship that He wants to have with each and every one of us. And the sermon title today is titled Walking with God. The seven churches outlined in the book of Revelations, each one leaves a message for the church today. The first church is the church of Ephesus. And if you will turn with me to Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. In Revelations chapter 2, go down to verse 2. Revelations chapter 2, verse 2. And it says, in Revelations 2, verse 2, "And I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles, and they are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." What is that message? Do not lose your passion for Jesus. Jesus says you have lost your first love. Listen to the words of Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says in this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." When I read these words, I see the passion in the Apostle Paul, and when I read the words, I hear the passion in the words itself. After that road to Damascus encounter, Paul was never the same. He was consumed with a passion for Jesus, and after Leo Friel met the Lord Jesus Christ, I have never been the same, and nor should you. And I'm not so sure that the fire in my life for the Lord Jesus isn't burning brighter at 66 than it was at 24. Saints, church, we may get kicked around, we may get beat up, but don't let that fire of Christ that He has lit in your life and in your heart ever be extinguished. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 13. And I'll read quite a bit about this because it's the road to Emmaus, and if I just cut it off, you're not going to know where we're coming from or what's taking place here. But if you go to Luke chapter 24, and you go to verse 13, and this is the road to Emmaus, most of you have all heard about that. It was after the resurrection of Jesus. "And now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were restrained so that they did not know that it was Him. And He said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?' And He said to them, 'What things?' So they said to Him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed, word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company have arrived at the tomb early, astonished us when they did not find His body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but Him they did not see. And He said to them, 'O foolish ones, O slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Then they drew near the village, and they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone farther. But they constrained Him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? He talked with us on the road while he opened the scriptures to us. Let me read that again. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us or talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? So they arose up that hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. The inward fire that Jesus has lit in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to never be extinguished. It is always supposed to burn bright to tell and to share others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that are excited, people that have zeal, people that have passion. The church of Ephesus had lost its passion. Passion attracts people. Zeal attracts people. There's something that person has that I want that in my own life because I do not have it. They sense that in your life when you have that passion and that zeal, and that light should never dim in each and every one of our lives. If anything, it should get brighter as we walk for the Lord, as we see miraculous things that God is doing in our midst and what He has done in our lives. The inward fire that Christ lights in our lives must be burning at all times. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And when you get to Luke chapter 12, go to verse 49. Luke chapter 12, verse 49, and look what the words that Jesus says. He says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wished it were already kindled. A fire that cannot be quenched. It cannot be extinguished. What is it? It's a passionate love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a passionate love for Jesus. What did Jesus say to Peter when they were at the end of the book of John? He says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, you know I do. He says, then feed my sheep. And he says it again, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I do. He says, then feed my lambs. And he asks him a third time, and Peter's all upset because he's already told him, Lord, I have already told you, yes, I love you. Then he says, feed my sheep. And if you read to the end of that book or into that chapter, you're going to find out what Peter is going to face in his life. There's some things in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you chose to serve him, when you chose to accept him, you didn't ever know what was going to take place. You didn't know you was going to get hurt. You didn't know that other church people were going to hurt you. You didn't know that a fellowship might damage you at one time or another. Are you going to turn away and walk away from the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus has given me life, and he gave you life, and that fire in your heart should never, ever get dim. He wants that to burn brighter and brighter and brighter, telling others about Jesus. Don't lose that passion for what Christ has done for you and in your life. That passion is an attractant. It draws others to Christ. It's an excitement only Christ can give. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 again. Revelation 2, verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Obviously, the church had done a good work. We don't know for sure why it had lost its passion, but we get a sense that they were going through the motions. Sometimes as Christians, we can just go through the motions. We're not making any headway. It's almost like we're just treading water for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many churches today have lost their passion? Let me ask you that. How many churches today have lost their passion? If you come to this church, if there's one thing that you're going to walk out from, you're going to say, well, Pastor Leo, he used to be a sinner, but he was saved by grace. I know that for a fact. But I also, there's a passion in that man's life. the Lord Jesus Christ is burning in his heart. And I want to share that gospel not only to our area, but also to our county, to our state, and I don't care where else the Lord would take us, but everyone needs to know Jesus. Amen? Everyone is born to be saved. No one is born to go hell. And the only ones that are going to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ are us that are sitting here today, the ones that have a fire burning in their heart. There are many times people will go through their whole life and they'll never share their testimony. Ever. Ever. Never share a witness to anybody because they're intimidated by that. And what have you always heard me say? You know how that you come to find Jesus? Is because somebody watered that word in your life, somebody sowed that seed, but before they ever did that, the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart. Why? It's because God wants you saved more than anybody else. God wants you saved more than anybody else. God wants you saved more than your dad, more than your mom, more than you could ever want your children, because he gave his very own son so you could be saved, so you could have life. So how does he do that? He deals with each and every one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, drawing people to him at all times. When you say something to them, when you say, may I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Is there anything that I would like to share? Or I'd like to share my witness. All you're doing is echoing in their heart what the Holy Spirit has already been echoing in them. We need Christians that have a fire burning to tell and to share and to witness to other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go to 99% of the churches and you won't find a bit of passion in any of them. We need the passion that Jesus lit in our life when we accepted him as Lord and Savior. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I told you a couple years ago, we just felt like Pastor Leo felt like he was just beating his head on the wall. I even talked to the council about it. I said, we're not going anywhere. We're not growing. We're just staying the same. We're staying the same. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He says, just keep preaching. Just keep preaching. You're going to break through that. He gave Carol the message that you are breaking through. You're piercing the darkness. You're breaking through. What was the message a few weeks ago? Sunday is on the way. In your life, Sunday is on the way. Be excited about that. Yes, Friday. You know, we celebrate that on Good Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. And the sadness of the Lord Jesus and his death and his death. But we said Sunday's on the way. His resurrection is on the way. I don't care what you're going through in your life. If you walk for the Lord Jesus, you believe in the Lord Jesus, you trust in the Lord Jesus, and you stand on his word, then Sunday is on the way in your life. For each and every one of you. To believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Sunday is on the way. The church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ. Individuals make up this body of believers. For this church to have passion, you and I must have it. We can't wait for somebody else. Do you have a passion for Jesus? A zeal that will not be extinguished. That passion was birthed in your heart when you accepted Jesus. And I want to share with you today how you can keep it burning. Because maybe some of you have lost it. Some of you have felt that excitement in your life. When you accepted Jesus, and then you know what? You've made a mistake. You made a mistake. And because you made a mistake, it's like, well, God will never welcome me back. God will never love me again. He accepted me once and I was born again. I know the day that I accepted Jesus. But because I have done things wrong, I got caught up in this. I got caught up in that. I know that God will never accept me back. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Our God is a God of second chances. A God of second chances. And I don't know how many second chances you need, but he's there to give you every one of them. You say, well, I had a second chance and I failed. The Lord didn't remember that sin because he forgave you of that sin. Are you ready for that next second chance? And many times it's more than two steps forward and one step back in our life. God loves you. You know why you're on this earth? Because God loves you. You know why you're who you are? Because God loves you. That's what this world has gone so far off the screen when it says, you know, that by evolution and God wasn't involved and God doesn't care and we can kill all these children, it doesn't matter. You are special. 139 Psalm says you are wonderfully and fearfully created in His image. In the book of Jeremiah, if you read the book of Jeremiah, He not only knew Jeremiah when he was in the womb, He had plans for Jeremiah before he was ever in the womb. He's got a plan and He's got a purpose and He's got a desire for each and every one of you today. Don't you ever think that you're not special. You are special. If I ask you the question today, what does God desire most in your life? What would your answer be? To be saved? Yeah, but that's not what I'm looking for. To be transformed into the image of Jesus after you're saved? And I would say yes, but that's not what I'm looking for. To serve Him. And yes, we should serve Him. But it's just not about service, because God could have created more angels to serve Him, couldn't He? To study His Word, yes. It is important to study His Word, but He doesn't expect you to be a theologian. I'm not. To pray, yes, but that's not what I'm looking for. What does God desire most in your life? I would like to say that this is the most spiritual thing that I will give you this year, and you better write it down, but it's not. It's a very simple, short sentence. God wants to walk with you. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to bring this all together. I won't preach all day. I'd like to. Someday I'm just going to start preaching and I won't stop. And when I wake up, I'll be preaching in heaven. And I won't need to preach there anymore, so you won't need to listen to me. Genesis chapter 5, verse 23. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 23, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and listen to the words, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now to go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So what was God used to doing? He was used to walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. He walked with them. What happened? Sin separated. We are created for fellowship. Now, you can fill that fellowship up with anything you want. You can be an NFL advocate. I mean, you can get all the gear. You can wear all the stuff. And you can have the big hand that says, number one. You can try to fill that fellowship and that desire, that spiritual void in your life with anything in the world, but it will never take the place of our fellowship with God. The happiest people in the world are those that have fellowship with their Heavenly Father, because that's what you were born to do. God wants to have fellowship with you. We are reunited with our Heavenly Father through Christ. Sin has separated us. Faith in Christ reunites us. A life reunited with the Father puts us in a place of fellowship with God. God desires that fellowship with us. He desires that fellowship with you. Kids, when you're going to school, God wants to be in the car. When you get to school, God wants to be in the classroom. When you're going to get ready to take a test, pray that the Lord Jesus will help you with that test. That's the kind of relationship that He wants to have in your life, that He has fellowship with 24/7, all the time. You never walk alone. You never walk by yourself, but you walk alongside of the Lord. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. He called us. He's called us into that relationship. He wants to walk with us. Too many Christians think that they have a spiritual life, but they also have a physical life. Spiritual life is when you need God. Spiritual life is when you have problems. Spiritual life is when you come to church. But all the other time, you can tell the Lord Jesus, I got this. You can take His back seat now. I'll take care of this myself. Too many Christians have that kind of an attitude in their relationship with the Heavenly Father. I'll give you an example. We go back in time, and Carol is We got four kids at home. We adopted our two nephews, and they were a challenge. They didn't want to go to church. We went to church. So Carol would get the two kids ready, get the two older ones ready, and then we were babysitting our niece. It was just a baby, and we were also preaching at the same time. So we had five kids to get ready for church. And moms and dads, you know, if anything bad is going to happen, it's when you're getting ready to get in the car to go to church. And I am passionate. You can sense that. I'm passionate about other things too. And sometimes I can be passionate with my anger or with my voice, not always in balance the way that it should be. But it's finally, you have fought with the oldest two boys because they can't keep fighting with each other. They can't keep their hands off each other. And finally you say, "We are going to church. Get your butt in the back seat of the car. Shut up. And I don't want to hear another word in the name of Jesus." But the name of Jesus never comes up. And then you're going to go to church. You're going to try to turn us all around. Well, we love Jesus, you know. But moms and dads, you know exactly where I'm going through. Well, I've given this illustration before. Is sometimes in our life, when we're going to go do something, we say, "Jesus, get in the back seat. I'll take care of this." Jesus never wants to be in the back seat of your life. He always wants to be right there beside you in the front seat. We want God to walk with us when we have a need, but the rest of the time I put this, "Stand back, God, I will take care of this." But that's not what He wants in your life. He wants that involvement that you are walking with Him and you're coming alongside of Him and you're asking Him to come alongside of you. And every day, when you go to work, take Jesus with you. When Kurt goes out on a record call, "Jesus, I need your help. I need you to be with me. If Dennis is going to go to work tomorrow and he's going to handle 220 electricity, he needs Jesus with him." And so do you. Whenever, whatever that you're doing, you need Jesus with you at all times. He wants to walk with you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to wrap it up here in a little bit. Couple more scriptures and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Many of you know what it is before I even get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new," or "she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God." Listen to that. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation." Now all things are of God because what? Because you're walking with God. You're not walking in the flesh anymore. You're walking in the Spirit. To have that grace. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things are of God. Now turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's more I could have read there, but we won't today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, who we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Now verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you're just getting there. Verse 13, "These things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he," or "she, who is spiritual, judges all things, yet he," or "she, himself is rightly judged by God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ." Why? Because we are walking with Jesus. It's hard to be an instruction with somebody if you're not walking with them. Romans chapter 8, one last scripture. I promise. Romans chapter 8. You'll find out I don't try to be a very long-winded preacher. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God." God wants that leading in your life on a daily basis.
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. What am I getting at? If you're walking with God and He is walking with you, then God is not just with you at church, but every moment of the day. When you go to work, when you go to school, walking with God keeps prayer on your lips, His word in your heart, and your attitude is one of service. Church, as individuals, if you want to keep the passion alive, that's where we started out, remember? The church at Ephesus had lost, it left its first love. Its first love is that passion for Jesus. If you want to keep that alive in your heart, make the commitment. God, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. And God, I want you to walk with me 24/7. Now that's a personal relationship. That's what a personal relationship is. I'll tell you, that girl over there 50 years ago and before I was married to her, there was nothing. I loved her so much. I wanted to spend every moment with her. She rode the bus home. Where was I? On the phone. Within 10 minutes, I knew that she made it home. I was on the phone calling her. I'd seen her all day at school. I wanted to be with her. I want that same desire in your heart. You want to be with Jesus. Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to keep the fire and the passion in my life so everyone will see there's something that is contagious in my life that they want to catch. That they will be drawn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord's going to return, see? We need to be ready. And we need to help everyone we can get ready. We need to help everyone we can. And the only way we can do that is through the passion and through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in this day that we can come out and we can praise You and lift up the name of Jesus. And we pray that, Father, we would take the word with each and every one of us as we go our separate ways, that our desire would be for all of us to walk with You. Father, be with us as we go our separate ways. Bless the time of fellowship. Bless the food to our bodies and the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.